I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Sorry, it's going to go along with what you played there. And Second Corinthians chapter 4. It's one of my favorite chapters. And it's a great chapter. But it's a chapter that is neglected. And I could just see Sam up here singing that, couldn't you? And I don't have going to be fully in glory, but I'd sort of like to walk up to him and say, how about singing that Lighthouse again? But anyway, I love Sam. And now let me just say this. He didn't die. He just moved from one house and he's there with the Lord. He just changed clothes, in other words. He's clothed upon something different. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, notice what he says here in verse 1, therefore seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. And this dishonesty is, you'll find in the verse, is handling the Word of God. And it has to do with, like back in chapter 2, verse 17, for we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. And so there's a many deceivers, and they're waxing strong, and many, they deceive, and because they're deceived, and they corrupt the Word of God, change the Word of God to fit their doctrine. Now let me just say this. If you've got to change this Bible to fit your doctrine, you got some bad doctrine. Just throw it in the trash. And take this Bible and believe it as God wrote it. This is God's book. And the Lord is not the author of confusion. He doesn't have different translations and better translations. And that's confusion. And I know where that comes from. That comes from the God of this world trying to keep this world from knowing the truth of what God would have them to know. Now let me just say this. You have the mind of Christ, but you don't have the mind of Christ to instruct Christ and try to straighten Christ out. But you have the mind of Christ in order for you to have the instructions for you from Christ. Now don't ask me to say that again. But I'll read it to you while you're there. Hang on there and come back to 1 Corinthians and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And notice what he says here in verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? In other words, that's what the world wants to do. That's what religion wants to do. They want to instruct the Lord. And now, well, a better translation would have been this. Or it should have been that. Like God, the Holy Spirit, didn't know what he was doing when he had this book wrote. I want to tell you, if God can, and he did, and if he can create this world in 6 days, how much problem do you think he'd have in having this book translated from Arab, from Hebrew, from Greek into English. Say, well, King James was a wicked man. I don't care if he was the devil himself incarnated. God can use whoever he wants to get his purpose filled. Believe the book. Now, that was my sermon, Dad. And look in, but he goes on. But what we have in verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, and I will think of it like this. I have the mind of Christ to instruct me as a member of the body of Christ how to live in this time. Now, if I'm getting too loud, it's Billy's fault. He just has to turn that thing down or turn it off. but he goes on, he says, back in 2 Corinthians, and he talks about, in verse 2, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That's emphatic. You can set yourself on fire. Don't change the fact. People don't know the gospel. They're lost. And if they don't believe the gospel, they're lost. And look what he says in the verse. He said, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's why they're blinded, is because they won't believe it. And he says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now I want to tell you, I went for years, I knew the historical facts of the gospel. I knew this up here. I could quote it to you. You could come up to me and ask me what the gospel was, and I'd tell you that. And I knew the facts about it. But you know what the problem was? I didn't believe it for myself. It was not personal with me. I didn't believe it for something. I was believing it without a cause. I wasn't believing it because I was lost and wanted to be saved. And I didn't believe it to get saved. I just believed it because I was raised to believe it. And there are a lot of people like that today in religion. That's all they have. They can tell you they believe that Jesus died. Then you ask them, do you believe he was buried? Yes. Do you believe he was raised the third day? Sure. And everything. But that doesn't save them. And I think the brother, I appreciate his message. I looked over in Ephesians chapter 1 and notice what he says here. And notice in verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first, what? Trusted in Christ. I never trusted the gospel. I never believed it for myself. I never relied upon it. But the night I got saved, and it was in a hotel room. Y'all have never heard this, have you? And it was in Spruce Pine and North Carolina in a hotel room on a Friday night. And I come to the end of myself. I was a religious man, or I was 19 years old. I thought I was a man then. And anyway, I come to the end of myself. You know what I had to do? I had to jump my religion. I had to get rid of it, all that. I counted it as nothing. I was lost. I realized I was lost. I realized I was a sinner. I realized I was going to hell if I'd something, the Lord didn't do something. And that night, and I'll never forget it, when I acknowledged that I knew that He died for me on that cross. For me, He went to that cross. And He died for me and all of my sins. Brother, God relieved me. He saved me, sealed me, baptized me all at one time into the body of Christ. And I've never got over it. And I don't want to get over it. I thank God every day for my salvation. I mean, folks, I went 2 years, a miserable man, 2 years going to a preacher's home every week and knocking on his door and saying, I believe I'm lost. I have doubts about my salvation and I'm just troubled about it. Oh, you need more faith. Read Hebrews 11. You need to pray more. You need to study more. You need to do this, do that. You know what I did? Nothing but trust. Have you ever done that? Have you ever relied upon this as a sinner? You know, if you get people lost, you can get them saved. You know, Jesus Christ said, they that be sick need a physician. You know, when you go to the doctor, when you something's wrong, you go and get checked out. You go because you're sick. You want to get better. And until people see themselves as a lost sinner and they're weak, they have no strength to save themselves, they have no goodness in them that God can honor, until they realize that there's nothing they can do but to trust what Jesus did for you on the cross, you'll never get saved. And you need to do that. And let me say, God will save you where you're sitting right now. He absolutely will save you where you're sitting. You don't have to get up, go nowhere. You don't have to even do nothing. But in your heart, in your mind, you see yourself lost. And you see that Jesus Christ is your Savior. And He died for all your sins. All of them. I had a woman tell me one time, said, you mean to, I ain't even committed some of them yet. Well, He died for them in AD 33. I mean, you reckon He didn't include those you hadn't committed? If He died for one, He died for them all. Your sins is not your problem. I'll tell you what your problem is your faith, your belief, your trust, your relying upon Him. I love that verse we Timothy. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I what? Committed unto Him. Your salvation is important. It was so important that God saved old Saul and gave him a message, knowing he was going to be put to death over that message. But if he hadn't have went and carried that message out, we would have no hope today. See, people say, well, you make too much of Paul. I don't make too much of him. I don't make enough of him. So we don't honor and lift up the life that he lived. I can't follow Paul in his life he did. While a man was, he was preaching one time, and there was a young man sitting in a window, and Paul preached from the midnight that day. I mean, he probably started at sundown, and he goes to midnight, and the old boy sitting in that window just couldn't handle it no more. He fell asleep like a lot of members do, and fell out the window and broke his neck, no doubt about it. And they run down there and they thought he was dead. And Paul said, well, his life is still in him. And he raised him up and they go back up and talk to daybreak. Well, you can't do that. You fall out a window here or you trip and fall and break. You better call 911. There ain't nobody in here is going to do nothing for you. Why, Paul, he went through his ministry and he circumcised Timothy, a young man. Because he knew his father, the Jews knew his father was a Greek. Well, we don't do that. Boy, that would be a drawing card, wouldn't it? You gotta be circumcised to join our assembly. I mean, I think about all this stuff, and people say, oh, you follow Paul. No, I don't follow Paul. I follow the instruction. I follow the mind of Christ that was given to Paul, and he wrote it down in 13 books. I'm saying 13, because don't add Hebrews. Well, there are verses in there that Paul couldn't have said. If he said them, he's lied. Read it. And I know the last part of the book of Hebrews there, when Timothy's let sent out of prison, I'll see you. And, you know, I don't remember Timothy being in prison. Do you? Well, anyway, 13 books. Romans through Philemon. I had a man sit in my living room. A preacher. A pastor of a church. And we was talking about Paul. He wrote, I said, the Romans through Philemon is the marching orders of the church. He looked at me funny and he said, you got that wrong. And I said, Romans through Philemon. He said, you mean Romans through Philippians. The man didn't know that Paul wrote Romans through Philemon. He thought it was Romans through Philippians. It's like the mystery in chapter 3 of Ephesians. Asked the pastor one time what that mystery was. He said, it's a mystery. If you knew what it was, it wouldn't be a mystery. Baptist pastor. Oh, sorry about that. If you're a Baptist, I'm sorry. I was raised one. Okay. I hit a stump on that plow. Maybe I should go back and talk about denominations then. I won't talk about that, and I ain't going to hold you too long. I'm done. But look, go with me over to Timothy. We don't make too much of Paul. Now look what he says in 1 Timothy. He wrote down the mind of Christ for you. Look in chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look what he says. For verse 3, for this is good and acceptable to, in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. All men. And to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God, and it's not Mary. It's not some black robe wearing person that you confess your sins to. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I want you to compare verse with it. Turn back to look in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Look in verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give his life a ransom for how many?
Many.
The Son of Man was to Israel. And the many is Israel. And he shed his blood for Israel as the Son of Man. Look over in, let's go over in Matthew chapter 26. Look in Matthew chapter 26. Let's see, 24 I believe it is. Verse 28. Well, go back up to 24. Verse 24. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. He's going according to prophecy. And he says, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. And by the way, the betrayal is according to prophecy. And he says, it had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And they would get their sins remitted till the second coming of Christ, and then they would get took away. That's what Paul said. Look in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, notice he says in verse 25. Romans 11, 25, For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, not prophecy. He said, mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel unto the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And the fullness of the, and that's a mystery. Something was to be complete that Paul had wrote about. And he didn't want them to be ignorant of it. And he said, and so, when the Gentile be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto all. No. Mistranslation there, wasn't it? For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. They get their sins taken away at the times of refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord, and He sends Jesus Christ by. They'll be brought out then. They'll be taken away then. And folks, that's a part of the mystery that was revealed to the Apostle Paul that nobody knew about it. What was it? That God was a Savior to all men. Whether they're Jews, Greeks, whatever. And it don't matter who they are. God will save all that call upon Him. That word call is a good word. And it don't necessarily mean with your mouth. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. You know what that word is, as I love to take the words and see how they're translated. When Paul's standing before Felix, I believe it is, and there he's appealing, and he said, I appeal unto Caesar, because he wanted to send him back to Jerusalem. And he said, I stand at Caesar's judgment. Where I ought to stand, I appeal unto Caesar. That word appeal is the same word called in Romans 10. For whosoever shall call. My thing is, have you ever appealed as a sinner, believing that Jesus Christ died for you? And you, that's what you're trusted in. We honor Paul because of his message. We follow Paul because he has the instructions for us. I mean, if you was going to follow the God back in Moses' day, who would you follow? You better follow Moses. 250 men didn't follow him, and they went to hell in their shirt tails before they knew what hit them. Ground opened up and split, and they went down. Can you imagine them going down? What have we done? Too late. You follow what Moses said. You keep the statutes. You keep the ordinances of Moses. If you was back in the days of Noah and you wanted to, and you, Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and he's building an ark out there for the saving of his house. You came up and said, Noah, I want to get in. No, you don't get in my, no, no, no. He wasn't trying to get the world in. He built that thing for the saving of his house and the animals that God would send that way. But I guarantee you say, Noah, what am I going to do? He said, well, go build you an ark. Just build it for your house. Well, now, if you really believed that, what would you do? I'd be building me a coffin, big old coffin out there. That thing is not built like the yachts. It's built to float. If you look at the dimensions of it, it's just like a big old coffin that had three stories in it. And when that tidal wave and that windows of heaven and the fountains of the deep broke up and the rain started, it hit it, buddy, and boy, what a ride they took. And it was like death. And you know what that water did? It separated them out from the carnage and the filth and the wrath of God down here. And 8 souls are saved by water, wherein baptism doeth now also save us. That's what Peter the apostle to Israel, the little flock, the priesthood that he was getting out, that's what he said. The only baptism will save you now is the one by the Spirit of God into the house of God, the church, which is His body. I'm glad we have a message like that. This world needs to know. You know where peace is? It's in Christ. You don't have to worry about losing it. It's His salvation. He will perform it. God hath begun a good work in you. And the Bible says He will perform it until the day of Christ. He's going to do it. Paul said He will preserve me unto that heavenly kingdom. Well, if you preserve something, how do you do it? You seal it. Mama used to can and she would seal and preserve the green beans and the peas and everything else, and it would seal. And you'd hear them think, boop, boop. Well, September the 3rd, 1971, about 11 o'clock in Spruce Pine, there was a boop. And Satan, he lost another. And I've been saved ever since. And I ain't worried about losing nothing. Because it's in His hands. He began it. And He's going to perform it. And I just let Him work out. Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The next verse after that says, for it is God who worketh in you. God works it out. What is it to work it out? It's to let it out. You manifest it through words that come out of your mouth. Folks, we're the light of the world now. Look in Philippians. I follow Paul because he has the only message that can bring life. And we hold forth the word of life. Notice in Philippians where he says in verse 15. Philippians chapter 2 verse 15. He said that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Boy, I got USA beside that. I shouldn't have done it, but I did. We live in a perverse nation. We live in a nation that calls evil good and good evil. And that's in Isaiah if you want to read it sometime. We live in a time where God, they don't want to retain God in their knowledge. They don't want to do nothing. And we get further and further away from the Lord. Further and further away from this Bible. And you know something? The further you get away from the Lord and this Bible, the more religion gets built up and grows like a canker. And it's growing. And brother, one day, there's a man going to come out on the scene. And he's going to have all the answers and solve all the problems for a while. And when they cry peace and safety, and sudden destruction's coming. Brother, it's a coming. You mark her down, it's a coming. And as travail comes upon a woman with child, so it's coming upon them. But you know what, Paul, your apostle says? You hadn't been appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know why God will never judge you as a member of the body of Christ for your sins? Because they're gone. He's done judged Christ on the cross. On that cross, not only did He judge Christ for your sins, He poured His wrath out. And He died your death. The wages of sin is death. I don't care how many sins. If there's only one sin, the wages of that one sin is death. And Jesus Christ, the Bible said that God made Him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He's my Savior. He's my King. I bow to Him every day and thank God for what He did on that cross. 50-some years, and I'm still preserved. Now, I don't look like I'm preserved. I look like I've been eating preserves, but I am preserved. I'm saved by His grace. And I'm sealed until that day. You know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have a hope of being like Him someday. Romans 8 says He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. We're going to shine as lights. Look what He goes on to say. He said, in the midst of a crooked, perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. How do you shine? Holding forth the Word of life. It's the Word. It's words that come out of your mouth. We testify of the grace of God, that what He did for us as old lost sinners. Thank God we manifest through words. One other passage back in 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to close. I don't preach as long as I used to. I don't do nothing as long as I used to. I mean, we have a big old yard to mow. I used to get out and do it, mow it, weed eat, push mow. Now June, she gets on the riding lawnmower and I'm out there sweating. But I couldn't do it without her. She's a good, but she's been laid up. But, you know, it's where it used to take a couple hours, it stretches out to 2 days. And so, I don't do nothing. And so I'm gonna let you go here, but I do want to read this. In 2 Corinthians again, and notice where he says in chapter, I believe it's in chapter 5. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. No, I was wrong. It's in chapter 4. I thought I could get through without making a mistake today. No, you wasn't in the car when I was coming over here. I made quite a few of them. See, she just gets where she don't even pay me no attention. I'll say, "Did you hear what I said, huh?" She don't pay no attention to me. But it was horrible. I think all interstates and roads ought to be, I think every interstate ought to add 2 or 3 more lanes going both ways. But it'd be like our sheds. We build a big old shed and we say, "Boy, I'll never get that in full." And in 6 months, it's full. Why am I talking about that? Look in chapter 4. Notice what he says in verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Now watch it. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Now I see Jesus in you, brother. No, I don't. I don't see Jesus in none of y'all. I don't know what Jesus looks like. I have people say that to me. Oh, I see the Lord in you. He's not that ugly. That's why that was my reply. But look what he says.
Verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Now here's how it is. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I what? Spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. In Matthew chapter 12, the Lord Jesus said, you know the tree by its fruit. And then he goes on and talks about the mouth speaking. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. And he talks about that being the fruit. It's words. By your words you shall be justified or condemned. Folks, we manifest Christ by speaking the word of Christ and magnifying what he did for you when he saved you. Wasn't it a wonderful thing that God's Son would save somebody like me and you? I think it's a wonderful thing. And I praise him for it. Paul has the gospel. Was given to him by revelation, Galatians chapter 1. That gospel's the only gospel that can save you. And it's by what he did, the person of Christ. You know, God would have all men to be saved. The doorway into that is belief, trust. And then God said to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And it's our duty as a member of the body of Christ to bring them. I said one more, but you know how that goes. It's like eating Lay's potato chips. You can't just eat one. Look over in Timothy again. And he's telling this preacher here in 1 Timothy. Look what he says in chapter 3. In verse 15. But if I tarry long that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. This house is not the mortar and brick. The house of God is the body of Christ. It's the church of God. I don't go to the house of God. Bless God, I'm in the house of God. I'm a part of it. We don't come here to worship. We worship, Paul said, we worship in our spirit. We worship every day. Every day should be a day of worship and a day of talking about what Jesus Christ means to you. Your testimony is the most important thing. Words that come out of your mouth. Powerful words. And notice what he goes on to say. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Now what did I just read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? The life of Christ being manifest in our mortal flesh. He goes on, he says, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. Say, well, that's Christ. That's his body. Amen. That's the church. Amen. The context he's talking about the house of God. It's also called in Ephesians 1, the temple of God. The habitation of God. God's dwelling in his church today. God's being manifest through the body of Christ today. We have the only word of life that this world needs. Amen. And how many of us shut our mouths like I'm going to do right now?
Thank you for coming. I appreciate it.